2 Samuel 22, verses 21 through 28. Let's ask for God's help. O God, you are our help. With you we can leap over a wall or bend a bow of bronze. And yet it is only with you that we can hear rightly, with right hearts, your own word. And so we look to you, we ask especially for the almighty working of your Spirit to help us in the hearing of your word. We do pray for our brother Peter right now as well, that as he thinks about your word, or whatever opportunity he has to read it, that your Spirit would help him and bring it home with power and give him the strength that is from God Almighty. So help us by the same almighty strength now in the preaching and in the hearing, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Samuel 22, verses 21 through 28. These are God's words. Yahweh rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of Yahweh and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from iniquity. Therefore Yahweh has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyes. With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. And with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. You will save the humble people. But your eyes are on the haughty, that you may bring them down. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. You can see in the last three verses there the justness of God. He is righteous. When we see him merciful to those who are merciful, that sense of justice that he has put in us agrees with that. We say, yes, that's who should be shown mercy. And with the blameless, he shows himself blameless. And with the pure, shows himself pure. And then with the devious, God himself is more clever than they are. And he will bring it down upon them. He saves those who lower themselves. And he brings down those who raise themselves up. He is just. He is righteous. Now, we in ourselves are not. And that's why this section that is bookended with verse 21 and verse 25 needs some explaining. Verse 21 begins, Yahweh rewarded me according to my righteousness. And verse 25, therefore Yahweh has recompensed me according to my righteousness. Verse 21, according to the cleanness of my hands he has recompensed me. Verse 25, according to my cleanness in his eyes. How can a sinner pray such a thing? How can we cry out to God, as the Psalms elsewhere cry out, in asking, requesting, Lord, deal with me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness? Well, there are three ways. And they apply to us as they apply to David. And it's marvelous because when you have this in Psalm 18, you're maybe not remembering Bathsheba and Uriah and all of the sin and folly that came in the fallout, failing to deal with Amnon, failing to deal with Absalom, and so forth. But here, the Holy Spirit gives us this psalm at the end of the David material. And, you know, you had the climax, you know, about 9 chapters into 2 Samuel, and then it has all been downhill for the last dozen or so chapters. And you say, how can David pray this? We can pray it in 3 ways, and we can pray it in 3 ways. First, we can say it in union with Christ. Because if you believe in Jesus, children, God says that Jesus is your righteousness. Not just that Jesus is righteous in your behalf, but that you are righteous with Jesus' righteousness. A man who shall, well, he doesn't need to be anonymous. I don't mind honoring my father. My father likes to one-up those theological gotcha people. And you say, how are you doing? You say, oh, I'm good. And they say, ha-ha, no one is good but God. And my daddy likes to say, nope, I'm good because I'm in union with Jesus Christ. And that goodness is every bit as much mine as if I had done it myself. And that's the declaration of God. And he doesn't say this, but he says, so you could take your holier-than-thou reformed theology-ness and try to get a little bit more reformed, please. Jesus is our righteousness, so that if you believe in Jesus, you are as righteous as Jesus before God. And holding onto Jesus with one hand, you can actually pray. You can actually praise, Yahweh has dealt with me according to my righteousness. So that's one way. The other way we've already touched on a little bit, and that is that Jesus himself as a person is our righteousness. So not only am I righteous with Jesus' righteousness, but you remember that Jesus is the primary singer of the Psalms. That he is, as was said of his father David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. That they are his songs and his prayers, and that there are things in there about sinfulness and forgiveness that he sings and prays in union with us and rejoices over the privilege he has, the charge that he has from his father to lay down his life for the sheep and the delight that his father has in that. For this reason, my father loves me that I lay down my life for the sheep. But everywhere you get to a part in a psalm where you're singing something that, you know, really doesn't belong to sinners, you can say, not only does this belong to me because I have Christ, but you also say, this belongs to Christ. You rejoice in the righteousness of Jesus. It's so marvelous to read the Gospels and think about every situation that Jesus has ever been in and know that his thoughts were perfectly righteous thoughts and his feelings were perfectly righteous feelings and his intentions and his desires and his pleasures. To say nothing of his words and his actions. You praise Christ for how perfectly righteous he is. Sometimes, I think, when believers have difficulty with the first way in which we can say this, I am righteous because Jesus' righteousness is mine. One of the ways we can be helped is by thinking about how righteous Jesus actually is. And praising him for it. And so the first way is us singing it in union with Christ, because we have his righteousness as our very own. The second way is recognizing that this is perfectly describing him. And the third way is God has already started working out in believers according to the character of Christ. This is one of the best parts of Romans 8:28. Most people like the God works all things together for good part. But we should rejoice over all of it. For those who love him, how could it be that there are those who love him? We don't, in our own original nature, love him. The fact that we do at all. And I know it's a little and it's small. And a great part of your loving him is grieving over how small your love for him is. But even that grief comes from love for him. And that didn't come from you. It came from God, and it didn't come from God in a vacuum. It came from God in his Son, because his Son loves him. And it is his Son to whom believers are being conformed. That's how you get from 28 to 29 in Romans 8. Who love him. How is it possible that who are the called according to his purpose? What is that purpose? For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined that they would be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And his Son loves him. That's why love for him is the first part of starting to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there were, throughout David's life, all sorts of love for God's name and doing the right thing under horrible amounts of pressure and refusing to lift his finger against the Lord's anointed and standing up to Philistines and not, you know, to show off for himself like his eldest brother thought, but because he was indignant that someone would profane the name of Yahweh. And every one of those things was produced in him from Christ. The Holy Spirit gave that to him in response to Jesus and from the life and character of the Lord Jesus. And the same is true with every bit of integrity on your part. Now, that last way of praying it, you're going to have a hard time with if you're not keeping short accounts with God. If you're not coming to him to cleanse your conscience, confessing how you've been sinning, embracing his forgiveness, and rejoicing over what remains. Many of us do this, right? At the end of our day, or whenever you stop and you pray, you say, "Thank you, Lord, for your patience with me since the last time I prayed, because I've sinned against you so much, and here I am again, but I'm here through Christ, and I'm here through his blood, and forgive all that has come from me, all the sin since the last time. But, oh Lord, it hasn't all been sin. Thank you, and I praise you for all that you helped me think and say and do that it was good, because I know that came only from Jesus. Bless it, make it fruitful, bring honor to your name, do your people good, do me good through all of those things." And as you keep that clear conscience before God, not, you know, continuing, we love to sing Psalm 32, right? Not continuing until he has to dry up all the vitality in your being so you finally come kicking and screaming to confess your sin and find out full forgiveness again. But that does two things. One, it keeps you repentant and marveling over forgiveness. But two, it reminds you that there is that genuine sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit that has already started producing in you the righteous character of Christ. And you can point to that. You can say, my conduct isn't like it used to be, and my conduct isn't like the unbeliever's conduct. My hands are cleaner now, even in my living, than they were outside of Christ. There's a difference. God makes a difference. Jesus makes a difference in the thoughts and words and actions. Not to what it ought to be. But just because it's small doesn't mean that it's not real. And the God who is making that difference for you is going to give you all of the rest of what Jesus deserves for you. So you can say, look at the difference that God is making already. And you can call on his name for all of the rest of it. There is an accord. We won't take the time to go to Romans 2 and talk about how Paul says in his gospel, there is an accord between the righteous works of a believer and the reward that they get at the judgment. Not because our works have earned that reward, but that the same God who has produced those works is pleased to give the reward that is parallel, corresponds to those works. So those are three ways that you can come, like Psalm 18, sorry, this is Psalm 18 as well, but 2 Samuel 22, verses 21 through 28, and rejoice in and cling to the justness of God's judgments. There's not a part of God's holy character that a Christian can't plead for all of the blessing and help for which he looks to his God. Every part of it, even the justness, even the holiness, is for you because of Jesus. It's on your side because of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we do praise you for your perfect holiness and your perfect justice. Lord Jesus, we praise you for your perfect righteousness. We're amazed. We don't have a clue what it's like to have continually righteous thoughts and desires and emotions. And so we fall down before you and praise your righteousness, even in your humanity, especially in your humanity, our Lord Jesus. We thank you, God, that you have made your Son to be our righteousness, even as on the cross you made him to be our sin. And we ask that you would deal with us according to him. And help us, O God, grow us in conformity to Christ so that more and more we see the revealing of the life and character of Jesus, even in our own thoughts and behaviors. Oh, we would have done with sin already, but help us, we pray. Grant us increased growth and success in killing sin and in putting on Christ and in walking in love as beloved children and in keeping your commands, so that we can review honestly what you have been doing in our life and say the God who has done this for us, that you will surely deliver us from every trouble, from every enemy. And so we praise you for your righteousness and for how you have made it our righteousness. And we ask that you would deal with us according to that righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.